Radio Show with your host, Lonnie Clark. We stand together and accept that we now live in a world transformed by Fukushima. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time here on UCY.TV Radio. We relentlessly engage every ear that listens. We expose and confront the complete lack of accountability for the nuclear industry. Consider social engineering programs who view our bodies, minds, and souls as assets on a balance sheet. We discuss vital current issues, interview activists, and engage our audience in an effort to allow all voices to be heard. The Age of Vision Radio Show creates a venue that all will choose. We encourage our listeners to reclaim their power and their courage to take action and save our planet from the ravages of greed and indifference. Our actions matter. Every voice matters. We remind our listeners that happiness is resistance. Love is greater than fear.
Good morning, UCY.TV radio listeners. This is Lonnie Clark with the Age of Fission radio show. I want to thank you for joining us. And, again, welcome to the new year. It's going to be an interesting year. And I want to let our listeners know that Jerome and I are going to kind of be splitting up the 4 days that we have here. He was taking on Wednesday and Thursday while I was in school. Now we're going to be a little bit more flexible. He has a job where his boss isn't exactly honoring his request for Wednesdays and Thursdays off. So I may be here on Wednesday and Thursday. He may have pre-recorded interviews. He may be live. He might be on Mondays. So we're just going to mix it up. The bottom line is we work every week to bring you information that you can't find anywhere on a variety of topics that primarily start from the age of fission and kind of twist your heads on, make us think a little bit about how in the heck did we get here and what can we do about it. So in that vein, I want to invite anybody who wants to call in, since this is a live show, to give us a call at 718-717-8106. I think I could actually answer the phone and bring you in. So let's make that effort. If you want to give us a call, tell us what you think. I have, as usual, a lot on my mind. There is a lot going on. This morning, Trader Trump, over the weekend, my button's bigger than your button, exposing his complete insecurity and need to oppress people. He's definitely on the, we need to prepare for nuclear war this year. Let's be very clear. He has every intention of dropping a bomb somewhere. Every intention of escalating war somewhere. He will not make it through to his impeachment processes, to his impeachment trial, without starting a war. If he sees that Mueller is getting close to him, he's going to do something dramatic to change the conversation and to punish us for not letting him be the dictator that he wants to be. So we need to prepare, and whatever that means to you, I know what it means to me. I did want to bring you a story that I saw this morning. Where was it? The Washington Post, that liberal Washington Post. I don't know how they got called liberal, but they're totally hilarious. This is on the op-ed page, and that's the interesting thing. I suggest everybody go to the op-ed pages of New York Times, the Washington Post, Foreign Policy, because that's where a lot of ideas are spoken of that you can't have reported anywhere else. This is an article on the opinion page. It says, these toxic chemicals are everywhere, even in your body, and they won't go away. By Joseph G. Allen. He was an assistant professor at Harvard, T.H. Klann School of Public Health, and faculty advisor to the Harvard Healthier Building Material Academy. So it's a lengthy article. I'm going to read it for maybe 20 minutes or so. I don't know if I'll get through the whole article, but I'm not going to take up the whole show on this. They say nothing lasts forever, nothing that is, except a group of toxic chemicals that may be associated with testicular cancer, kidney cancer, high cholesterol, and suppression of vaccine effectiveness in children. So that statement alone is supercharged for me, because to me, what they're doing is shifting our focus from the nuclear contamination that Fukushima still is. It's coming up on 7 years. From the thousands of nuclear bombs that poisoned our entire planet in the 50s and 60s that are now presenting itself in the form of cancer. And this whole idea, the suppression of vaccine effectiveness in children, as if vaccines are actually effective. I know in my interview yesterday with Christine, she was a very big proponent of vaccines. I'm not so sure I'm a proponent. I used to be, but the more I've looked into it, the more I think it's a bunch of hooey. There's better things that we can do to keep people safe. The rubella, the measles, all that stuff. People died from those diseases 150 years ago, not because of the diseases, but because of the filth they lived in, because they didn't have basic sanitary conditions, running water. They weren't able to do a bunch of things. So, but I don't know. I haven't actually, that is just my intuitive gut, but after watching Vaxxed, which I highly recommend everybody watch, at least the way they do their vaccines right now, they're definitely a death knell, especially for boys. Let's get back to this article. They are now nearly in all of our bodies, are found in the air and water around the globe, and they never go away. They are forever chemicals. So you think they'll call any of this will be identified as radioactive contaminants? No. These are stain-repellent chemicals that we use in products throughout our homes, offices, schools, hospitals, cars, and airplanes. They are characterized by a fluorine-carbon backbone. The FC bond, the forever chemical bond, is quite amazing, representing one of the strongest bonds in all of organic chemistry. When several FC bonds are strung together, some really useful industry properties appear, including allowing air to pass through while blocking such things as grease, oil, and dirt. This ability to act as a stain repellent is why we apply them to all sorts of products we like to keep clean, from carpets and furniture to camping gear. It's also why we apply it to nonstick cookware. Almost nothing can stick to the pan when we have a layer of these chemicals on the surface. That being said, if you have any Teflon or nonstick cookware, get rid of them today. They're extremely toxic. We've known this for well over 20 years. Not worth it. Definitely not worth it. But this property comes from the pernicious dark side. The FC bond is so strong that these chemicals never fully degrade, ever. Like, for a millennia, ever. Forever chemicals. Now, you know how long nuclear contamination lasts? 400,000 years. Okay. Forever chemicals have been used in products since the 1940s, when the assault started on Americans and the world. Forever chemicals have been used in the products since the 1940s, and to confuse things as only scientists can, the terminology around these chemicals is so precise as to be useless. You might have heard them referred to as stain-repellent compounds or highly fluorinated chemicals. For years, many called them by their infamous toxic poster child, C8, referring to the 8-carbon forever chemicals, PFOA and PFOS. The most recent technical name for the forever chemicals we are talking about, the ones in the consumer products and building materials, are perfluorinated or polyfluorinated alkyl substances, or PFASs. Rolls off the tongue, doesn't it? There's another set of forever chemicals called hydrofluorocarbons that we are not talking about here. These are used as refrigerants, and because they are potent greenhouse gases, are being phased out of use under the latest amendment to the Montreal Protocol. It might be one thing if Forever Chemicals stayed put once in our consumer products and building materials, but that's simply not the case. Forever Chemicals escape from the products we put in them and from the industrial facilities that produce them. The latest high-profile Forever Chemical to come under scrutiny is Gen X, a nonstick chemical in cookware that Chemours, the manufacturer behind Teflon, was allegedly discharging into Cape Fear River, the drinking water source for hundreds of thousands of people in North Carolina. We now find Forever Chemicals all over the globe, from the blood of polar bears to the middle of the Pacific Ocean. We also find them inside all of us. In the most recent survey of the United States population, one set of these Forever Chemicals showed up in the blood of more than 98% of Americans. My colleagues published a paper in 2016 showing that 6 million Americans have these chemicals in their drinking water above the safe limit set by the EPA. That might be an underestimate because regulators are considering lowering the limit. Yeah, let's just poison everybody. Public health scientists often describe the wicked game of replacing one harmful chemical with an equally harmful chemical as regrettable substitution. Do they really? Listen to this statement again. Public health scientists often describe the wicked game of replacing one harmful chemical with an equally harmful chemical as a regrettable substitution. Regrettable substitution. That makes me want to spit nails. Okay, let's get back. But forever chemicals are worse. We don't swap one for one. They are more like weeds in a garden. As soon as we remove one from the market, 10 more appear. We have largely eliminated the use of PFOA and PFOS, but there are thousands of new variants of forever chemicals in use, and it may get worse. And every chemical with a carbon-hydrogen bond, the fundamental unit of organic chemistry, you can theoretically replace the H with an F, creating a forever chemical. Thus, the number of forever chemicals can be made to close to infinite. Scientists could study these indefinitely and not make any progress. It's a security job that I don't want. We need a market solution to this problem. Here they go with a freaking market solution. God, I hate these people. Thankfully, there is already action across several sectors. In the healthcare industry, Kaiser Permanente announced in 2016 that it is banning forever chemicals in furniture and materials in its building projects. Manufacturers Herman Miller and Shaw are offering products without them as well. Even consumer product retailers are getting involved. Columbia Sportswear partnered with hip-hop artist Macklemore in 2016 to introduce a rain jacket with no added forever chemicals. I actually, that kind of took me by surprise. I didn't know that rain jackets actually had forever chemicals on them. That was kind of a stun to me. So that means that you ought not to be buying. I mean, does that mean every other rain jacket has them? So no matter what, no wonder it's in our blood. We have it everywhere. So let me keep going. Universities have a role to play too. Harvard recently announced new green building standards requiring that we no longer purchase furniture or other materials containing forever chemicals. We are using our campus as a living laboratory to test better products and to create the scientific evidence that demonstrates that when we act, we see an improvement in our environmental quality in our buildings. I don't know about you, but that made me really, my blood boiled when I saw that. Like, we need to experiment to find out that living a healthier lifestyle produces a healthier environment. Do these people have absolutely no brains in their head? They have to have scientific proof for everything that life can exist without toxins. Oh my gosh, I hate these people. Okay. Collectively, from all sectors, we need to send clear market signals that we all want products to adhere to green science principles, such as designing for degradation, because nothing should last forever. including our patients. Including our patients. There you go. I think that's where I'm at, including our patients. So this is the principles of 12 principles of green chemistry. This is from the website, Chemistry for Life. There was actually a link to it in this story because they want to feed us the information they want us to think about. So we clicked on it to see what they're going to tell us. Number one, prevention. It is better to prevent waste than to treat or clean up waste after it has been created. Number two, atom economy. Synthetic methods should be designed to maximize the incorporation of all materials used in the process into the final product. Number three, less hazardous chemical synthesis. Wherever practicable, I guess that's the word. Synthetic methods should be designed to use and generate substances that possess little or no toxicity to human health and the environment. Number four, designing safer chemicals. Chemical products should be designed to affect their desired function while minimizing their toxicity. Lord, I read that one wrong. Chemical products should be designed to affect their desired function while minimizing their toxicity. How's about, like, let's just not use chemicals, folks. Safer solvents and auxiliaries. The use of auxiliary substances, ergo solvents, separation agents, etc., should be made unnecessary wherever possible and innocuous when used. Number six, design for energy efficiency. Oh my God, the box they keep going in circles. Okay, energy requirements for chemical processes should be recognized for their environmental and an economic impact and should be minimized. If possible, synthetic methods should be conducted at ambient temperature and pressure. Use of renewable feedstocks. A raw material or feedstock should be renewable rather than depleting wherever technically and economically practicable. Reduce derivatives, unnecessary derivation, use of blocking groups, protection, deprotection, temporary modification in physical chemical processes should be minimized or avoided if possible, because such steps require additional reagents and can generate waste. Catalysis. Catalysis agents, as selective as possible, are superior to stoichiometric reagents. What the heck do those words mean? I don't know, boss. Let's go take a look. Okay, sorry. Do, 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 do. We'll put this into the Mr. Googles. He'll tell us. And I'll type in that says, what? I'll type and ask him, what does? And then I paste the word catalytic mean. And it will tell us. Ba-ba-da-da. Relating or involving the action of a catalyst. Okay, so let's look at the other one. Catalytic reagents, as selective as possible, are superior to stoichiometric reagents. What the heck is that one? I don't know, boss. Let's go ask the Googles. So we'll paste in that word into that sentence, and it will tell us. What does it mean? It means relating to stoichiometry, relating and denoting quantities of reactants in a simple integral ratios as prescribed by an equation of a formula. Okay, we got that. Designing for degradation. Chemical products should be designed so that at the end of their function, they break into innocuous degradation products and do not persist in the environment. They have relatively failed on every single, almost all products that they put out now. Real-time analysis for pollution prevention. I think it's a little late for all of this. This was done in 1998. Real-time analysis for pollution prevention. Analytical methodologies need to be further developed to allow for real-time in-process monitoring and control prior to the formation of hazardous substances. Number 12, inherently safer chemistry for accident prevention. substances and the form of a substance used in a chemical process should be chosen for to minimize the potential for chemical accidents, including releases, explosions, and fires. And this was done by P.T. Amastis and J.C. Green, Chemistry, Theory of Practice, Oxford University Press, 1998. So I don't know about you, but I thought this was pretty shocking about the forever chemicals. They are in everything, including our rain jackets, the forever chemicals. So anything that, I guess we need to look at this, and anything that has an F and a P in it, F and a C bond, then we need to like avoid those products like white on rice, I guess, you know. So, and I thought I'd check in also on the mass animal deaths, which I haven't done in a little while. It's kind of sad, but it's happening, folks. I wonder when they're going to stop reporting the hundreds of thousands of birds every month. Okay. December 31st. Hundreds of dead fish, seagulls, and a dolphin washed up in Cornwall, England. December 29th, 660 birds killed due to the avian flu in Kostromo Oblast, Russia. December 27th, mass die-off of fish in Porto de Piedras, Brazil. December 27th, thousands of dead fish washed ashore in Herdeslev, Denmark. December 23rd, hundreds of dead fish found in the waters of Lee County, Florida. You know, I'm going to just encourage you to come to this website. It's called End Times Prophecy. If you just Google in mass animal deaths, it's the only person keeping track of all these things. It's too hard to just read out and just keep going. There are thousands. I think it's been over a month. The reason I don't come here as often as I used to is it kind of gets to me. Like, this is really sad. We are having seriously bad issues with the animals in just they're the first line of attack. And as this article said, the forever chemicals, I'm not so sure that, you know, we have the ability to protect ourselves from ingesting or being exposed to any of that. I do want to encourage you, though, to go to my Instagram page and look at my videos from, I think it was, I don't know, it must have been like, let me see, what date was Saturday? Because just January 31st, I put up a post. And when you go to my Instagram page, it looks like it's white. It's a blank, but it's not blank. It was the video caught the sun, so it was super white. But that's where I found the live sand dollar on the coast of Oregon. I've never picked up a live sand dollar. I picked it up and its little tentacles were moving. And it was like searching and it was moving. It was so exciting. I've never seen anything like that. So I posted it up on my Instagram. I was really excited. My Instagram page, by the way, is Nuts for Art, just like my YouTube channel, NutzForArt. So, and let's keep moving around because there are things that we can talk about. Maybe we should do some nuclear alerts, see what they're telling us or what they're not telling us. I don't know if any of you guys saw that story about Hanford, but there was a story over the weekend about Hanford says that they have basically, let me see what the news, if I can pick that story back up. The Department of Energy has to permanently close the damaged Hanford tank. So let's see. A new baby was born in Hanford. We'll see how much money. The baby is healthy and doing fine so far. Okay, Department of Energy, this story was dated January 2nd, 2018. Department of Energy to permanently close damaged Hanford tank. And I don't know if you guys know about this tank, but it is a gigantic, and actually they've cut the story down from where it was yesterday, or maybe I saw it on a different website. The Department of Energy says it will permanently close a damaged radioactive waste storage tank at the Hanford Nuclear Reservation. The department says that tank AY-102 has widespread damage and should not be repaired. The Tri-City Herald reports that it was one of the oldest double-walled. It is the oldest double-walled underground tank at Hanford. The Department of Energy in 2012 revealed that the waste from the inner shell of the tank was slowly leaking into the space between the inner and outer shell. No waste is known to have breached the outer shell to reach the environment. No waste is known. The decision means that Hanford will have 27 newer double-walled tanks to hold waste emptied from 149 leak-prone single-walled tanks. Does that math make sense? The decision means that Hanford will have 27 newer double-walled tanks to hold waste emptied from 149. Why don't we have 149 leak-prone single-walled tanks? The waste is left from World War II and Cold War production of plutonium for the nation's nuclear weapons program. Wow. That is kind of a shock to me. 27 newer double-walled tanks for 149 leak-prone tanks. So are the 27 tanks like, what's that math? I mean, let me do that math really quick because that just does not make sense to me, folks. I mean, 127 tanks? What was that number? That stunned me. 27 newer double-walled tanks to hold waste from 149 tanks. So what does that mean? 149 divided by 27. That's five times. So are the 27 newer tanks going to be five times larger than the old ones? I doubt it. What the heck are they doing? It's like, okay, well, let's just pretend we're doing something and gouge everybody while we're doing it. Wow. That is, that, I just don't know how we can do this. How we can just take, like, how does that person write that article and put those numbers in there without anything, without any kind of, asking any kind of question, like the simple math question that I just asked. Yes, we can build 27 new tanks for the 149 tanks that are leaking, but don't worry, you'll be fine. Oh, here it is, 4 days ago. Correction on radioactive cars, Hanford story. Let's see what the correction said. And I have gone to, folks, the Tri-City Herald online. The Tri-City Herald is the only one who actually reports on any of this stuff. Oh, God, listen to this one. This was reported a month ago. Okay, yes, it will lead to it. Here we go. This was the one that I read. I'm sure it was this one. Okay. Let's go to these stories. Correction, radioactive cars, Hanford story, December 29th. On December 28th, story about vehicles found with radioactive contamination at Hanford's plutonium finishing plant in Washington State. The Associated Press erroneously reported that workers had been cleared on December 15th to return to work demolishing the plant. Although they were initially cleared, it has been on hold since December 17th, when the contamination was found outside the demolition zone. I'm sorry. The corrected version of the story is below. Maybe we'll read that in a second, but this is a shock. More radioactive contaminated vehicles found at Hanford. A number of vehicles with specks of radioactive material has increased to 19 as checks continue at Hanford's plutonium processing plant. 12 additional government or vehicle contractor vehicles were found with additional radioactive contamination as of Wednesday afternoon, with 55 vehicles still to be surveyed, the Tri-City Herald reported. The dozen contaminated government and vehicle contractor vehicles are in addition to the seven workers' vehicles found to have specks of contamination since demolition completed on December 15th in the most contaminated section of the plant. I can't read this. They don't take this. This guy, Ty Blackford, president of Energy Contract, CH2M Hill, Plateau Remediation. Those are the monsters that make a living out of lying to us. We take this very, very seriously. We're dealing with a form of contamination that is very, very hard to manage. You think? Listen to this story that broke on November 4th, and I don't think I had a chance to read it. A Hanford first. Tank waste could be treated off-site. Could it lead to less costly cleanup? No, it's going to lead to more costly cleanups. Wow. You know what they're talking about here, folks? They're talking about subcontracting this. HR 3053, it has not gone away. This is unbelievable. So it's 8:30. I'm going to give the number out again. If anybody wants to call in, 718-717-8106. You can give me a call and we can talk about things, whatever it is that you want to talk about. One of the reasons that I brought up this idea, the very first story that I read, the toxic chemicals are everywhere, is around the 40s is when the assault, the full assault on our planet and on humanity began by the lunatics in charge of the banks. I don't know who they are, the people at the very, 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 very top of the pyramid. And there is some question as if they are not people. There is a lot of information that says they may not be, even be people. And they have put us on a roller coaster ride and the fast track to the brick wall. As you've heard Guy McPherson say, he doesn't believe we're going to make it to 2029. So, maybe he's right, but I'm sort of the cornucopian type. I'm hoping that we can come up with some idea. I would also suggest, since those of you are listening to this show and are definitely paying attention, so thank you for being here. I really appreciate that because that is what it matters. Just even listening to this show is a form of activism because you're allowing yourself to hear things that other news medias don't even want to talk about. It's the taboo of talking about chemical and nuclear pollution. We just can't talk about it. We can talk about global climate change. We can talk about global warming. But you can't talk about nuclear contamination. You can't talk about chemical contamination. Erica Dugan's going to be with us next week talking about the tremendous, horrendous story that she's having to go through right now just to get her children health care because she is standing up against the fracking industry. Oh, and let's talk about the ANWR, folks, because the ANWR thing is a really big story. That was, in fact, the reason that they kept the so-called tax bill massively secret. They honestly have, they are going after, oh my gosh, Mr. ANWR. ANWR was the Alaska Natural Reserve. Let's see what this says. Arctic National Wildlife Refuge. And that, thank you, Jerome, because Jerome always corrects me on that one. This is why they went after it, folks. It is the area is, oh my gosh. It consists of 19 million. I thought it was 1.3. It's actually 19,386,722 acres in the Alaska North Slope region. It is the largest national wildlife refuge in the country, slightly larger than the Yukon Delta National Wildlife Refuge. Wow. So now they're going to start drill, baby, drill right there. That is so outrageous. Let's see what it says. I'm on the Wikipedia page, which, as we all know, is not really a highly reputable source. But let's see what Wikipedia says. The question whether to drill for oil in ANWR has been an ongoing political controversy in the United States since 1977, and Traitor Trump and the traitors in the Congress were able to bully it through and not tell anybody they were doing it. The controversy surrounds drilling for oil in 1,500 acres subsection on the coastal plain known as the 1002 area. What does that say? Much of the debate over whether to drill in the 1002 area of Anwar rests on the amount of economically recoverable oil as relates to the world oil markets, weighed against the potential against harm exploration, oil exploration might have upon natural wildlife, in particular the calving of the porcupine caribou. Well, that's all. That's handled. They've taken care of that one. So I guess, you know, when you consider, if you look at all the levels of contamination we have everywhere, it's actually pretty sad. It's really sad that people are being conditioned to just accept it. We're just being conditioned to just accept the fact that the industrial military complex is completely out of control. They have gained complete control of every government, and there isn't any government that can stand up to them. In fact, this morning, Trader Trump was threatening to start a war with Iran. That's exactly what he said in his tweets. And if, I don't know if any of you guys actually follow this traitor's tweets, but let's go there. You know, I mean, I am stunned. I cannot wait till January 20th because we will at least get our voice heard. Listen to what he says about Iran. This is very frightening. Such respect for the people of Iran as they try to take back their corrupt government. Is he going to say that when we take to the streets, you stupid? You will see great support from the United States at the appropriate time. This guy sends chills through my body because he is such an abuser. He is not going to tell us when he sends over bombs into Iran. And actually, there are stories out that a lot of the violence being perpetrated inside Iran at their peaceful protests is, as usual, caused by foreign agents inside there because they're trying to incite civil war. And just like they do at a lot of the protests that happen here in our country. So when we go out and protest on January 20th, we really must practice nonviolence. And we have to get anybody who's talking about violence, and we have to get them out of the protest. Because nonviolence is not the way. It's not going to happen. The most effective ways to change governments is nonviolence. And so listen to what, and I don't know if you read, of course, if you even turn on the television, this is all they're talking about. The people in the media are shocked at this man's idiocy. North Korean Kim Jong-un just stated that the nuclear button is on his desk at all times. Will someone from his depleted and food-starved regime please inform him that I, too, have a nuclear button, but it is much bigger and more powerful than his, and my button works. Unlike his wanker, like his button works. This guy is completely insane. I do not know how a single person in this country can support Trump and think that he is not part of the so-called, he calls out the deep state, right? He can't decide if he likes them or hates them. I like you, but I hate you. I like you, but I hate you. I mean, he's president of the United States. Does he think that installing his little click your heels and say Sig Heil people are going to make the FBI not the deep state? And let's just talk about what is the deep state. There isn't a deep state. It's an out-of-control industrial military complex that has perpetrated an authoritarian regime all around the planet in every country that it can. And with, you know, there are a few countries in Europe that are resisting it, but most of them are. So I actually really believe that we are in a very dangerous place, and I don't think we're going to get through the year without something very big happening. In fact, probably very soon. And I am actually dumbfounded at the Republicans in Congress, because it was the Republicans who actually stood up to Nixon and saved our country. So there's another op-ed, and because this is my show and I can talk about what I want, I'm going to, because this is very important for us. The Republicans' fake investigations, the attack on our firm, Fusion GPS, was a diversionary tactic by Republicans who don't want to investigate Trump's ties to Russia. So this links in completely to the fact that he, well, how do I say this? He makes money off of the American people. He is breaking the emoluments clause. When people say, oh, he's doing the same thing every president does. No, he's not. Not every president is becoming more and more rich every day he sits in that office and allows himself to sit. He owns a hotel where he allows other people to commingle, where they these big business people can come in and tell him what they want him to do. So he's sort of tailoring all of that. And by the way, coal jobs are down. And for all of you who voted for Trump because you think that he's going to protect America, last year we didn't have a single soldier die until April. Actually, ironically, until traitor Trump took over. And today, they reported our first soldier killed in Kandahar, or right outside of there, in Afghanistan, which is also frightening because he's destroying our relationship with Pakistan. So you think, and Pakistan, for those of you who don't know your geography, is right on the edge of Afghanistan. Pakistan has been a vital partner in protecting our soldiers. Now, do I think we need to be over there? No, because I think the Taliban and ISIS are a CIA-funded group. It's all about promoting war. War, 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 because war is profitable. You know, and then when our soldiers come back, they're super sick. So then they have to go to this profit for healthcare system. And if they act up, they go into the profit for prison. Or if they're black people or brown people, they go to the profit for prison system. And then they don't get to vote forever. I mean, this is really clearly a shakedown, folks. A serious shakedown. And it's not one side or the other. They're all participating. I called my congressman this morning at 6:30 in the morning and said, you know what? If his tweets over the weekend don't make you stand up and demand impeachment, and we need to actually have an impeachment process. It's not like you're going to say, oh, we're going to impeach you. This is a lengthy process where we examine, we put him on check that you're being looked at. That might actually correct his behavior and make him less of a threat to the planet and less of a threat to our country. I told Pete DeFazio, if you don't get on the impeachment train before the elections in the midterms, I don't care if Art Robinson gets elected, because having Art Robinson, who thinks we should all be drinking radioactive water to acclimate our bodies, is no different than a congressman who, you know, sits by idly scared to death to protect our Constitution because of his big donors. And he's afraid of the quote, Trump nation. You know, I don't know how there's anybody who can support Trump. So if anybody wants to call in, who's sitting there listening to this, who's saying that you think Trump is a good guy, give me a call. Let's have this conversation. Because I'd like to know how you can ignore the sexual assault, how you can ignore the emoluments clause, how you can ignore the secrecy that he has surrounding his contacts with Russia, the fact that he has never shown us his tax returns. The fact that his campaign did not contact the FBI when they knew that Russia had dirt on them. I don't know if he actually colluded, but he certainly has obstructed justice. And he certainly has destroyed many of our environmental protections that we have had already. He has done irreparable harm to our environment. Even if we roll back everything that he's... forget the environment. How about economics? They rolled back the law that says investors, that the financial advisors no longer have to look out for their clients' best interest. That law was passed after the economic collapse in 2008. That was one of Obama's. He personally oversaw that and said, okay, the only rule was this. You have to work in the best interest of your clients, period. Traitor Trump took that away. How is it that people are going to stand behind this guy and say he's standing up to the deep state when the deep state actually helped him buy his first piece of property, helped him buy Mar-a-Lago? How is that? And the deep state also put his face on television nonstop during the 16 elections. Why was that? And the deep state outed Hillary Clinton's corruption a month before the election, the same week that we heard the Billy Bob tapes of Trump, you know, grabbing by the you know whats. I mean, how is it that people in this country are so far removed from caring about what happens to our planet, to your children? I do not comprehend that one bit. I'd love to have a conversation with somebody who thinks that he is not a bad person. Call me up and have a conversation about why you think he's not as bad. I mean, he is, and frankly, I think he's a front man. And now that he's signed the Anwar deal, which is really what the tax scam was about, it was not about tax cut. I mean, that was their gravy. That was their icing on the cake. But they wanted Anwar. And in fact, if you listen to what he says, every time he gets in front of a camera, he's like, yeah, we passed the tax bill and we've got Anwar now. That was the big takeaway that they wanted, folks. So now he's in danger because he realizes that the Republican Party does not need him anymore. They got their big fat pot of gold that they wanted. He's given away the farm. He should have waited till January. People that say he's smart. He's not smart. And you know who you also need to be watching out for is Elaine Chao. She's Mitch McConnell's wife. She's the transportation director of transportation. And she is a frightening woman. She's everywhere on CNN or MSNBC, and she's on the C-SPAN talking to all these people, all these little groups, promoting herself as an immigrant. And as a person who came over on a tanker, yes, she came over on a tanker to escape communist China because her family was billionaires. And Mitch McConnell married up by marrying into a family of billionaires. And she has been working in government for over four decades. But she is the face of propaganda. I will tell you what, she is a very frightening woman in my view. Oh, she's quite charming. I listened to all of her little things that she's had on recently. Okay, just to top off the hour, let's go to the nuclear alerts. How about that? That's always fun to talk about first thing in the morning. And it gives us a reason to like, why am I going to work? What am I doing this for? Okay, events. Let's see what events we had for January 3rd. Event numbers. Non-power reactor, University of Missouri, Columbia. Non-emergency, non-power reactor event. Technical specification required for report of abnormal occurrence. So I guess this was a test. This was one of those experimental university non-nuclear power plants, which still has problems. The University of Missouri, Columbia Research Reactor, MRR, was shut down due to the loss of negative pressure in the reactor containment building. Prior to the shutdown, the reactor was operating for a period of time during the loss of negative pressure, in which the deviation from MRR technical specifications. This email is a required notification, blah, blah, blah. Okay, so it says that MRR was not in compliance. While routine patrol on the morning of 12:30, an operator noted that the differential pressure gauge between the reactor containment building and the MRR laboratory building was reading 0 inches of water vacuum. The operator of the routine patrol radioed the lead senior reactor operator in the control room, and the reactor was shut down. The cause of the loss of negative pressure was the closing of a backup ventilation door from the reactor containment building. With the backup ventilation exhaust door closed, the negative ventilation was only supplying air to the reactor containment building, not allowing a balanced air recirculation to maintain the negative pressure. So don't worry about it. It's perfectly fine. I guess this is where Columbia, Missouri. I guess they've given up on Missouri since it's a gigantically radioactive contaminated site. The compliance procedure for verifying the backup ventilation doors was conducted satisfactory in post-maintenance testing. So no worries. Power reactor, it's back up to 100%. Loss response. Unplanned loss of emergency response equipment due to loss of plant computer. Where was this? Comanche Peak in Texas. That's theirs. Wow. And what date did this occur? Event date 1/2/18. At 11:37 CST on January 2, Comanche Peak Nuclear Power Plant Unit 2 experienced an unplanned loss of the plant computer system. The loss of Unit 2 PCS resulted in the loss of emergency assessment capability to the CPNNPP Technical Support Center and emergency operator facility for greater than 60 minutes. This report is being made pursuant to 10 CFR 5072B38, any event that results in the loss of emergency assessment capability, off-site response, or off-site communication ability. Repairs are ongoing. Wow, that makes us feel better because repairs are ongoing. So we don't have to be worried, folks. They're taking care of it. They're working on it. They're working on it. That's what Gordon Smith used to say to us when we'd go to his events. We'd ask him what he was going to do about impeaching George Bush. He's like, oh, well, we're working on it. Hence, Jeff Merkley. This is why we have Jeff Merkley in Oregon, because there was a group of us who used to go. This was before the Republicans got wise and made you show your Republican card to get into these events. We used to go to every one of his Republican campaign events and just sort of mingle in with the crowd and talk to people. And then when it came to question time, we'd pop up with our, like, how dare you ask those questions? And he always said, we're working on it. So there you go. We're working on it. Okay. California Radiation Control Program, Glendale Adventist Medical Center. Oh, man, non-emergency. Nuclear medicine employee overexposure. This is sad. That's what you get for working in this industry, dumbass. 12-22-17, nuclear medicine employee overexposure. On December 6th, the radiation safety officer at Glendale Adventist Medical Center notified the principal radiation protection specialist at Los Angeles County Radiation Management that a Glendale Adventist Medical Center, a nuclear medicine employee, had unusually high readings on his Landier dosimeter for the last several months. 409 MREM. Minutes of REM, DDE, deep dose equivalent, in July 17, 490 in August of 17, 892 in September, 12,870 in October, and 166 in November. Well, that guy's going to die. Sorry about that, bud. Wow. This is sad that people... So that they can make $150,000 a year, they think it's worth their lives. They think it's worth putting their family's life at risk so that they can make $150,000 a year. This is outrageous. Okay, so we are still on January 2, folks. There's more to tell you. This is why you come here, to listen to these nuclear alerts and listen to my... You know, flaming liberal opinions. I don't think I'm a flaming liberal. I've actually come to think that I'm actually really conservative, because I believe in conserving the earth. And I believe in conserving our economy. And to conserve our economy, we need to stop the military. We need to end the industrial military complex. We need to bring all of our soldiers home, close up all of the bases. Leave people's countries alone. Come here and clean up our own mess. And if that means we put a soldier at 10 feet on every single set of our borders to protect ourselves, if we feel that insecure, that's what we ought to do. And protect our websites. And as a matter of fact, there was a story in one of these, either the Times, because I go to the Times Foreign Policy and the Washington Post this morning, about there's been a bleeding of people from the NSA. People cannot handle how they are decimating even the NSA. So the spy machine is like freaking out at how poorly run and ill-equipped this administration is to handle the job they say they want to do. Literally, we are letting our country slip through our fingers, our economic stability, our financial stability. I personally think we need to close down the NSA. I think we need to revoke the Unpatriot Act. I mean, there are some things back to basics that we need to get back to. And ending the industrial military complex is job one. We don't need lifetime soldiers living in other countries identifying with foreign citizens as their friends and family, and they're there to protect them. If those people really want to protect themselves, they will. But if the United States and the CIA kept their fingers out of inciting violence and stopped selling weapons and guns to the Taliban and stopped supporting ISIS, and actually, ISIS probably is the CIA, let's be clear who they really are. you know, protect ourselves from Saudi Arabia. Our so-called friend is really not our friends, folks. Saudi Arabia is the enemy, in my view. So I don't know if I'm actually a radical. I think I speak for lots of people. Let me get back to these nuclear alerts. I want to make it through at least day two. Surface contamination levels on the limits at the global nuclear fuel of America's uranium fuel fabrication. That needs to be shut down also. Package received with removable surface contamination exceeding applicable limits. That means that it went through. Everybody who touched this package was contaminated. Global Nuclear Fuels of America is making a report to the NRC operations pursuant to NRC blah, blah, blah to state that the NRC has conducted a GFNA-1, received a package on September 29th. The event date was 9/29. They're reporting it on 12/29, 3 months later, which had removable radioactive surface contamination on its external surfaces that exceeded the applicable limits set forth in 10 CFR 71.87i. Oh my God, these people are evil. This report is solely for the purposes of reaching resolution from an October 25th alternative dispute resolution, because Global Nuclear Fuels America maintains that the removable radioactive contamination on the external surfaces of a package, an open metal dumpster, and the removable surface contamination on scrap pipes contained in the dumpsters did not exceed the applicable limits. So they're denying that. So these just lie on top of lie on top of lie. Wow. Safety significance at this time, at no time was an unsafe condition. These people are so horrendously evil. Holy vey. Okay, the very last one for January 2. South Texas, Texas, this is a nuclear reactor, power reactor. It's back up to 100%. Offsite notification. The South Texas Project Offsite Emergency Notification Siren Number 7 was inadvertently going off. The Matagorda County Sheriff's Office notified the emergency response organization at the station of the siren actuation. Station personnel are addressing the issue with the siren. Don't worry, the siren went off. Oh, God. The licensee has personnel at the siren, which is no longer alarming, 1.5 hours after the alarming notification. So that's where we're at, folks. The same old thing, only on Balco now. So let's see. We have about a minute left. I want to thank our listeners, and I want to thank people who listen to our show and share our show with people. It does matter. We're not scaremongering. We're not doing this to freak people out. We're doing this to give people information. We're arming you with information so that you can learn to protect your families. And just be aware of what's going on right in front of our faces. They're not lying to us. It's just we're suffering from information overload. And my goal is to help you get some of that information so that you can digest it and protect yourself. So put your courage feet on, you guys. Please take action. Contact your congressman and tell him that we need to stop the insanity at the White House. And we'll talk with you soon. Take care, you guys.